Ramsey TV.
I met a new homeless guy today. This guy was pretty cool. He was upbeat. He looked like he was wearing like a white lab coat. He was a little scruffy. He said he's only been on the street for about 3 weeks. He said his wife died. He was nursing her for 3 years. I know what you're saying. You say you can't believe everything those guys tell you. Well, yeah, I can and I do. He told me how he arranged his bedding, and I said, you got to be very clever to survive on the street. And he looked at me and he squinted and he said, I like that word. He said he was a writer, and I believe him. He had a very good command of the English language. In fact, his command of the English language was so good that he told me he didn't like to call himself homeless. I said, what do you prefer? He said, I'm an urban outdoorsman. An urban outdoorsman. You got to love that. And I do love it. Speaking of love, this is Martin Zenner. Welcome to MZTV. This guy has such a good attitude about things. He was on a bicycle. It was a tricycle. You know, two wheels in the back, one wheel in front. It looked like he got it at $5 at a garage sale. But he had a basket in back. It had all his worldly goods in it. I looked at him and I said, sir, you are beating the system. He just smiled. And this guy has such a good attitude. And he actually said this. He says, well, you might as well go through life loving people because that brings you closer to the kingdom of God. Yeah. A homeless guy told me that at 6:45 this morning at the corner of 17th Street and US 1. And he followed me. I ran for a little bit. He bicycled beside me. We had a hell of a conversation. These are my people. If you want wisdom, talk to a homeless person. If you need money, ask a poor person. If you need something done, ask a busy person. All right, now I'm going to talk about love and lust today. And I have a crazy feeling that I'm going to go off on a tangent on lust because this is so misunderstood. Love and lust are often confused, and lust is misunderstood. Now, there's nothing wrong with lust. I'll tell you that right off the bat. You're never going to hear this on any other show teaching the scriptures. Lust is not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm going to bring you evidence of that. Lust simply means desire. That's right, desire. Is desire bad? Well, it depends on what you're desiring. Now you're getting close to the truth. Desire is not a bad thing, not of itself, and neither is lust. The thing is, people use the word love the most when they're talking about men and women being in love. This is a treacherous phrase. I understand it. I think, now this is just me, I think that love, agape, you can have for anyone, your children, your enemies, your dog. Sometimes your dog might be your enemy, so you can have it for your dog and your enemy at the same time. And of course, obviously, we ought to love our husbands and our wives. I think when people say in love, I think what they mean is desire, i.e. lust. See? Lust is the same thing as desire. Lust means desire. I think that's what people mean. So when they say someone is a couple is in love, what they mean is they're in lust. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm all for it. Those people are in lust. I'd be like, yes, good. And do they also love each other? Because if they love each other and lust for each other at the same time, you have a magic combination. Some people call it marriage. Great. That's the ideal. I hope it works. Now, I would not say in love. Again, I would say in lust. And as far as love goes, I would just say that they love one another. Okay, so to sum up, I propose getting rid of the term fall in love, and I would call it fall in lust, and I would give it two thumbs up, okay, when combined with love. Now, here's the question. Can you lust for someone without loving them? Yeah, of course. I'll probably get into that on my pre-planned sidetrack. I just admitted it. I have a pre-planned sidetrack on the topic of lust. But this in love, two people falling in love, it's not a scriptural phrase. It's not a scriptural concept. And you could, I suppose, transpose infatuation with lust. People can become infatuated with each other, like they're just fascinated. They stare at people like revolving crystal. They almost like mesmerize and hypnotize. But this is temporary. This blows away like fairy dust. But again, speaking of marriage, if it's combined with love, then it's a magic formula. Let the fairy dust flow freely. This is my teaching. So the photos, I'm always picking on the Hallmark company. I hope nobody out there works for Hallmark. I don't want to wreck anything for you. We need Hallmark for those people who are in lust. Yeah, because the photos accompanying the, quote, love cards from Hallmark show couples what? Kissing, hugging, holding hands. Holding hands is great. Kissing is great. Hugging is great. I love all of these things. But here's the thing. You can't photograph love. Or can you? Love is a man opening a car door for a wife that he really doesn't like. Love is a wife donating a kidney to her husband, who 80% of the time is a jerk. That's love. Let me see some miserable woman sitting in an operating suite or lying in an operating suite. No, does anybody sit in operating suites? No. Donating a kidney. That's love. That's love. This other stuff, holdy handy, great. But you can hold hand with your children. Hold hands with your children. You can hold hands with your pets. Although I suppose in that case, it would be holding paws. Well, their paw, your hand. Hope I'm not getting too technical here with the pets. So, again, the Donna Summer song, I Feel Love, totally needs to be changed to I Feel Lust. Now, I am compelled to bring you the Greek word for lust. Again, this word means, in the scriptures, it means desire. Did you know that Jesus lusted? Oh, yes, he did. There's a verse in the scripture that says Jesus lusted. In fact, the Holy Spirit lusts. So lust itself, desire, is neutral. It can be bent toward either good or bad purposes. Again, Jesus himself lusted, and the Holy Spirit lusts continuously. The Holy Spirit never takes a break. The Holy Spirit lives to lust. You can quote me on that. I'm going to prove it. The Greek word for lust used in the New Testament is epithumia. That's right. You heard it here. Epithumia. This is the noun form of the word. It's the thing. It simply means desire. And who doesn't desire things? Do you desire to be with your kids? That's lust. Do you desire breakfast in the morning? That's lust. I know you all lust for coffee. As soon as you wake up, you're probably drinking it now. Haha, got you. You lusters. Do you desire to be president of the school board? To get a promotion? And your job, that's lust, because we're using the word desire. Do you desire money? That's lust too. Here's the question for any religious people that might be looking over your shoulder. Do you desire to get rid of all the lust in your life? Then you're lusting. Haha, you're lusting to get rid of the lust. I'm sorry to be the one to break it to you, but there you go. So, lust is morally neutral. It can be bent toward either good or bad purposes. Jesus himself lusted. I'm going to get to that. Now we get to the verb form. This is to do the thing. The verb form of epithumia is epithumio. And this verb form appears 16 times in the New Testament, and the noun appears 39 times. I looked this stuff up. I do my homework. The Concordant version translates the verb variously, which I don't like this. Translate it one way, please, gentlemen. But they translate it variously as lust, yearn, and covet. I don't like that. If we want different words for the same Greek word, we'll go to the KJV. And of course, the same word is used to speak of sexual desire. And as soon as anybody hears lust, what do they think of? Sex. Automatic. Christians, when they hear the word lust, they go crazy. They go through the roof. Lust is a sin. Lust is a sin. Really? Oh, then Jesus must have sinned. I'm going to show you that. Sexual lust? Sexual lust is as natural and common an occurrence as lusting for food and drink. But it's far less accepted. I know that. When Christians hear it, they go nuts. Sexual lust is supposed to be a terrible sin. But it's not. It's supposed to be the downfall of men, especially. Men, we're the ones who lust. I guess women never desire a man. So they're off the hook. We're the ones who take the heat. As you know, I'm publishing a book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle. It is a refutation of the original Christian book, which is a monstrously bestseller. It's a monstrous book, too. Where do you read the refutation? This book, the original book, Every Man's Battle, assures married men that lusting after the opposite sex not only compromises their relationship with their wives, but with God. And there are some religious wives out there. If I can save anybody from this, I will, because this drives me nuts. There are some religious wives out there who think it's wrong even for their husbands to lust after them. Nobody out there, nobody in my audience, you're smarter than that, I know. But there are Christian women who, maybe some believers, I don't know, I don't like to think this, please tell me it's not so. Wives, they don't even want their husbands lusting after them. It's that he's out of control. He's losing it. He's a different person. It's like he's intoxicated. Ooh, intoxicated. Solomon says you're supposed to be intoxicated for your wife. This is lust. It is normal. It is natural. It's what you do with it. In a marriage, it's to be unleashed. Unleashed. If you're not in a marriage, if you lust, it's perfectly fine. It's natural. It's what you do with it that matters. The book Every Man's Battle says you shouldn't lust at all as a man. Of course, men are the evil ones. We're the ones with the evil testosterone coursing through our veins, cursed with eyes. Yeah, God cursed us with eyes. Then he put testosterone in our bodies. Then he gave us these sacs that pool the testosterone. And it makes us desire even more. And of course, God didn't give this to men as a blessing, as a wonderful gift, as something to be enjoyed. No, 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 no. This is something to be overcome, to be conquered. You must conquer your eyes, don't you know? Well, this is all nonsense. But it is the insistence of this evil book, Every Man's Battle. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of it. If any of your sons or husbands have this book, this is an emergency situation. This is 911. I want you to turn the show off right now. Put it on pause. You can start it up again. Go and snatch that book out of... I'm dead serious. Snatch that book out of their hands. It's dangerous. It's going to lead them to ruin. It's going to turn them into unnatural religious automatons. Get rid of the book. Go, go. Come back. I'll still be here. Okay, here we go. The reason... for this absurdity. The reason everybody's so afraid of this word lust is because it is so strongly tied to sexual desire and sexual sin. Yes, there are sexual sins that do involve lust. But an unwarranted linking of lust to sex that is automatically assumes it's bad, that itself is a sin. That is missing the mark. You ready for this? I am going to describe for you right now the moral neutrality of the word lust. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh is lusting against the spirit, yet the spirit against the flesh. Yep, epithumio, that's a Greek word here, as you guessed. Who knew that the spirit of God itself lusted? It does, and yet here's proof. In this passage, both the spirit and the flesh are lusting. When the spirit lusts against the flesh, it's a good lusting. Yes? But When the flesh lusts against the spirit, it's bad. So lust itself, therefore, is morally neutral. It's neither angelic nor demonic. It depends on the context. You have to look at the context. I promised you I was going to tell you that Jesus himself lusted. Are you ready for this? Hang on to your sex if you're men. I don't know what you hang on to if you're women, but here we go. In Luke 22:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "With yearning, I yearn to be eating this Passover with you before my suffering." Say, Martin, where's lust there? You promised us. You were going to show us that Jesus lusted. You're simply showing us that he's yearning. Now, this is where the Concordant version kind of screwed us here. The Greek word translated yearning and yearn is the same word epithumia, translated desire and lust. Yeah, elsewhere in the scripture. So this is what Jesus said. With lusting, I lust to be eating this Passover with you. He lusted twice in one sentence. He lusted as a verb. He lusted as a noun. Obviously, then, since Jesus did it, lusting itself cannot be a sin. In fact, the word of God in 1 Timothy 6:9, I love the word of God. To me, it's definitive. It's proof. There are foolish and harmful lusts. 1 Timothy 6:9, listen to this. Now, those intending to be rich are falling into a trial and a trap, and the many foolish and harmful desires, that is, lusts, epithumia again, which are swamping humans and extermination and destruction. So there you go. That proves that if some lusts are foolish and harmful, then it stands to reason that there are other lusts that are not foolish and harmful. It is desiring. So to bring this around full circle to my comparison of love and lust, lusting is not wrong. Do you know that the book Every Man's Battle tells single men not to lust? In that book, I kid you not, they tell you that you need to control your sexual dreams. Your sexual dreams are evil. They're wrong. And you're sinning if you have a sexual dream. Unbelievable. But they tell single men that they can't lust. But wait a minute. Lust means desire. How would a single man even be attracted to a woman at all if he doesn't lust for her, desire her in a sexual way? Isn't that the beginning of it? Isn't that why we have freaking testosterone and freaking estrogen or progesterone or whatever you ladies have? Isn't that the combination? Isn't that the magic combination that causes babies to come into the world? Without lusting, I'm sorry, there are no babies in the world. It's how it's channeled. There's some beautiful women here in Fort Lauderdale. I can lust after them, like, oh boy, it'd be great to have sex with that woman. Or boy, I would sure like to, you know, bring her home and introduce her to the Concordant version. There's nothing wrong with any of that. It's what I do with it. Now, David lusted for Bathsheba. If it would have stayed there, it would have been fine. Just control it, David. Go into one of your 2, 3, 4, 5 wives, okay? If you get that feeling, you got ways to get rid of it, dude. You don't need to kill another woman's husband, namely Bathsheba. What's the matter with you? Are you crazy? Well, you paid for that one, didn't you? So it's what you do with it that counts. I'm getting off on the rabbit trail again. I'm supposed to wrap this up. Somebody stop me. So love and lust are sold separately. Love does not necessitate a yearning or a desire. Love just does it. Love extends well-being, extends good things, extends mercy and helpfulness to somebody who potentially doesn't deserve it. It's nice to love people who do deserve it, but love, the same love that comes from you, agape love, also extends to people who don't deserve it, and that's when it really shines. See, now Jesus loved his disciples. Loved them. But they weren't, they were a little dumb, but they were likable. They were like, maybe doofuses. Yeah, doofuses, but they were easy to love. But the same love loved his enemies, the ones who put him on the cross. Now that is where love really shines. It's the same thing that loved the disciples. So you can lust without love. Be careful what you do with it. You can love without lust because you love your dog. Don't lust after your dog in any way. In marriage, when a man and a woman come together for that wonderful union known as marriage, which I love it, I believe in it, then it's great to have love and lust together. You need it. You have to have love and lust together. The lust part, the sexual lust, is what distinguishes a married couple from a platonic couple. And don't confuse platonic with plutonic. Plutonic describes someone who comes from Pluto. Platonic, named after Plato, describes two people living together without a sexual lusting. But two people living together can lust for breakfast. I've heard of it happening.